Now, Stephen Mayne, a name that's known to most media watchers, he's an opinionated journalist, shareholder activist, sometime political candidate. I actually knew him years ago. I used to run Telstra's business in Victoria, and Stephen was Jeff Kennett's press manager when Kennett was the premier down there. But today he's best known for founding crikey.com.au, the online independent news source. And he has done a ripper piece on the finances of the Labor Party, the Labor Party machine. Very, very impressive piece of research. I'm pleased to say he joins me on the phone from Melbourne. G'day, Stephen.
Hi, Mike. How are you?
Going well, Cobby. Yourself?
Very well.
Don't miss the cut and thrust of press secretary to a premier?
Look, it was good fun while the revolution was going on back there in the early 90s. There's never been a government quite like our Geoffrey Kennett, but I'm enjoying being out of that.
I remember the day he shovelled sand over the over the assembled media, but anyway, that's a yarn for another time. Mate, you'd have to say that the Labor Party is in pretty good financial shape, particularly as it was led up here in Queensland with Rudd and Swan, wouldn't you?
Well, I think if you've got an investment pool of close to $100 million, the biggest investment pool of any division of any political party in Australia, clearly, the Labor Party officials in Queensland have been brilliant financial managers of their own affairs, and which augurs well for the next few years federally, because Kevin Rudd and Wayne Swan were big players in that original decision-making process to build up this huge investment fund for the brothers up there in Queensland.
You just said a very significant thing. The fundamental thrust of the Conservative Party's campaign against these two individuals was economic L plates, and you can't trust them. They've never run substantial businesses and what have you. I mean, you've analysed Labor Party finances up here, and money talks and BS walks, I suppose, is the great phrase. You sound like you're a bit of a rat for them so far as their economic credentials are concerned.
Well, if you have to look back at the history, the Labor Party sold, I think it was 4KQ back in 1986, and they received $16.5 million from that. Now, shortly after that, Kevin Rudd joined Wayne Goss's staff, and Wayne Swan was the campaign director. And obviously, together, they wanted to end Labor Party, the National Party's 32-year rule in Queensland. Now, when you've been out of power for so long and you're the Labor Party, ordinarily you'd think that you'd just spend all the money from selling your radio station.
Yep.
But they didn't. They set up an investment fund and said, we will only ever spend the proceeds or the earnings on the investment fund. And so what started with $16.5 million is now close to $100 million. And they have investments like $18 million worth of Suncorp shares sitting up there in the Labor Party in Queensland, which is a huge amount of money to have in one company. So I simply say that look what Rudd and Swan did with the party's finances, then look at the state of Queensland after Rudd had been the top bureaucrat for a few years and Queensland had fully funded super and no net debt, lowest taxes in the country. Then Kevin Rudd was not managing anything in the public finance space for the next 11 years up until last November, but over that period his wife built up a business which turns over $261 million a year. And the family's clearly worth north of $20 million. So basically my conclusion is that everything that Kevin Rudd turns his mind to, in financial terms, turns to gold. And hopefully he can do it again federally for the country.
Let's just talk about the political parties and their balance sheet as opposed to their income statement. Now, we all know political parties have to declare the donations and what have you that are given to them. I understand they don't have to disclose their balance sheet, the extent of their investments and what have you. Is that the case?
That's correct. And I have to say, Mike, it is quite a scandal the way Australia has probably the weakest disclosure laws in the Western world when it comes to political party finances. If you look at the Americans or the Brits, they have to release balance sheets. They have to, in the case of the UK, they have to release weekly statements on who's giving them money during election campaigns. And they even have to reveal how much they spent on hairdressers for the political leaders. I mean, they've got to reveal everything about their finances.
Yep.
In Australia, we have very weak disclosure laws. So on February the 1st, we finally got the figures for 2006-2007, 8 months out of date, but at least we finally got the figures. And all we're told about this massive investment fund that the Labor Party's got is that it donated $8.5 million to the party in 2006-07, and you see a bit of sketchy detail about dividends flowing in from certain investments. So, for instance, the Labor Party in Queensland owns 70 different stocks, but they've only disclosed 22 of them in their returns, because you have to only disclose the dividends over $10,000. So my basic beef is the Labor Party should have to admit publicly that they've got 2 million Commonwealth Bank shares, that they've got $1.25 million worth of shares in Woolworths, and we should have a balance sheet for the whole Labor Party across the country, because I think if you actually did get a balance sheet for all the different divisions of the Labor Party and all their affiliated unions, I think you'd find that they were worth close to $1 billion.
I noted that in your piece. I actually mentioned it in an editorial at the Open. You say that the Labor Party and its affiliated unions have up to $1 billion in financial strength or backing assets behind them.
Well, I think that's I mean, it's a best guesstimate, but yep. The unions now, John Howard toughened things up for the unions. They do have to release 6 monthly balance sheets. So we do know, for instance, that the CFMEU, the construction union, have got more than $100 million in net assets. We know that the finance services union's got $43 million in net assets, and the Australian Education Union's got more than $30 million. So you can add those figures up. So we know that the unions have net assets of more than $500 million, and we can sort of conclude that the Labor Party in Queensland's got close to $100 million in assets, and I know that New South Wales has got a fair whack as well. So I think basically that's where you're extrapolating the figures. But I just think it's outrageous that, you know, I used to be the president of my local kinder, and I have to tell the state government down here in Victoria each year what my balance sheet of the kinder is. You know, net assets of $44,000, I think, was the last time I put the return in. Yet the political parties, which receive tens of millions a year in public financing in election years, for instance, because federally the public funds political parties $2.10 for every vote they get, so they receive large amounts of money, yet they don't have to tell us what their assets are. And yet, I basically think they shouldn't be receiving this money, because in the case of Labor, they're just so incredibly rich.
And yet any individual member of parliament has to disclose absolutely what shares they own. Political parties do not.
Correct.
Yeah, that is a scandal. I think you're dead right. Stephen Mayne, great to speak with you. Thanks very much for chatting with us tonight.
No worries, Mike. All the best.
All the best to you too on Brisbane's News Talk 1116 4BC.